Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Dan Glickberg here from Fairway Market with another delicious Thanksgiving tip. You do not need to serve your turkey piping hot. Let it rest before carving to keep the natural juices inside. As long as your gravy is hot, that'll do. For more Thanksgiving tips, log on to fairwaymarket.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show was Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew My Son Newman.
I think it's more disgruntled at this point than my son. You know, can I change up my title every once in a while?
Or you
is
don't
always
like
my
that
son?
Title.
Oh, no, I'm okay with it usually, but right now I'm a little disgruntled.
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 Well, we'll take it up in the show, and we'll see if we're going to change your name.
Okay.
On a permanent or a temporary basis.
I think just temporary, and I'll let you know how my mood is when we come into the show, and you can change it up.
You could just tell us your mood.
I think my mood is easy to read, but, you know.
Yeah, no, not for me.
I'm throwing it out there now. Just get it ahead of it.
Your mood is always mean to me.
No, it's not. I was very nice to you last week when we had Doug Bube on. It was fantastic. We had a great time in the show.
Yeah, when we have other people, you're nicer to me. But when we go solo like today, we're in for it. I just want to continue. We have our producer, engineer, the one and only Carlos, doing a solo act today.
There he is.
Carlos!
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Very much.
I love it when Carlos talks. He doesn't do it very much. You know, I think I got him out of his shell a little bit a couple weeks ago.
Low key. All right. And we broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. We'd like to hear from you while we're streaming live. Call us at
718-497-2128.
497-2128. Or email us at
info@heritageradionetwork.com.
And Carlos would be happy to read the emails. We really want to hear from you today. I did send out an email to some listeners saying we really want to hear from you because we're talking about real time history in the making, Occupy Wall Street, the day of mass, what is it called? The mass demonstrations. I'll get to that later. But let me finish up. Today's show is, as I said, Occupy Wall Street. Happy anniversary. Huh. What an anniversary. 2 months old today. And a lot of shit hitting the fan.
Well, it's not occupying anymore.
Yeah, well, it's still called Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, I understand, but I'm saying the occupation ended.
No, the occupation has not ended.
It ended?
Well.
He threw them out.
They're still there.
Well, I understand,
they're not allowed to sleep there, but they'll come up with something. So today is the mass day of action. That's what it's called. All around the country. I would assume all around the world. I did see a little bit about Korea today. The occupations are taking up some sort of positions to demonstrate and to celebrate their two-month anniversary from Zuccotti Park in New York City. In New York City, it's been a very tough day.
Hundred arrests at least
hundreds,
already?
Over
100 already?
Yes. So this morning it started out as planned. Well, let's go back to Tuesday. Tuesday.
1 a.m.
1 a.m., the mayor and his...
Goon squad.
Good answer. Goon squad woke up the sleeping occupiers and tossed them out of the park.
Literally tossed some people out of the park.
And took their stuff, their personal and other belongings, you know, the occupation's belongings. And I guess some of them were able to grab a couple of things. Some of them got their backpacks, mm-hmm. and some got personal properties. But a lot of it was unattainable? No. Unreachable?
I don't know. Out of reach?
No, they didn't get
anyway,
it.
Anyway, okay. they weren't able to leave with their stuff.
So they cleaned up the park by tossing all of the stuff that was left behind, in the back of some garbage trucks. Some went into dump trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of it went into the back of the garbage collection truck, which just crushes your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they were told, the occupiers were told they're not allowed to sleep there in tents anymore. And I think they closed the park. They closed the park at that point to clean it. Steam cleaned the park and then they could come back.
Because they do that to all parks across the city constantly. I love it.
Well, the city doesn't even own this park.
Well, I know, but the
Brookfield asked them to clean it.
Oh, and they steam cleaned it?
They steam cleaned it.
When was the last time? I want to know what the last time Brookfield steam cleaned Zuccotti Park.
I guess it didn't need steam cleaning, but I could see lots of parks and lots of locations throughout New York City that need...
That could use that. I could totally understand
cleaned
that.
Up.
But they don't do it.
No, they don't do it. That's just nonsense. So they were allowed to come back the next day under a lot of police... what's the word? Police... surrounding.
Wow, you're struggling.
I'm really having a hard time. I'm very upset. I'm going to tell you why. But anyway, I went to Zuccotti on a Wednesday morning. Was it Wednesday? Tuesday was the thing.
It was
Wednesday?
Monday night at 1 a.m. Tuesday morning, and then Tuesday was the.
Okay, so I didn't go Tuesday morning because I was under the influence. I had a dentist appointment. So I was out of it. So I went Wednesday morning, and what I found on Wednesday morning, which was yesterday morning, right? Yes, I went yesterday morning, and I found hundreds and hundreds of police. I found lots and lots of reporters and very few occupiers. There were barricades surrounding the whole entire park, and they accomplished what they set out to do. The police did, mm-hmm. anyway. But the occupation is in the back somewhere, some back rooms or in some places, other locations throughout the city, regrouping and trying to figure out what to do. But the plan for today was on the drawing board before the Clean Act came in on Tuesday. And so they proceeded today with their plans for Mass Day of Action. So the first thing this morning in New York City was they were going to disrupt Wall Street.
Oh, that didn't work.
Well, it did kind of because they wanted to interfere with the people going to work. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't do that because the police came down and, you know, Wall Street's been under barricades since
9/11.
Since September 17th when they had their first day of occupation.
Well, no, the Wall Street has had barricades in there.
Oh, but they put a lot of barricades up on 9/17 after the first Occupy Wall Street made their first march. And they made it where you have to virtually walk single file mm-hmm. down on Wall Street. And you can't walk in the center of the street at all. But today, they barricaded even more. But I didn't go down there this morning, but I know that they had way more police than they've had down there since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was down there shortly after 9/11 because my office is located down there, and I felt like when I went over there the very first time, maybe I went over there like the 14th of September, because the mayor at the time, Giuliani, said if you have any businesses down there, you go down and check on your businesses, make sure that everything's okay. So mm-hmm. I went down there to check on my office, and I really felt like when I got off the Brooklyn Bridge because I walked over, I felt like I was in a military state. There were guns on the police. Fingers are cocked on the triggers, and they were standing all over the place. It was really a weird, weird, eerie feeling. But there were cops all over the place. Today or yesterday, I think there were more cops down there on Wall Street area than I recall it being on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong because, you know,
it's 10 years
ago. I think
perspective is a little different. I think you think of things differently?
It's also a different
I'm sure
feeling.
The cops weren't out there with their machine guns like they were back in 9/11.
No, they had riot gear on today.
But every cop and their mother had a M16 on their chest back in 9/11. Yeah. Nowadays, I'm sure that's just the riot gear preparing for...
Riot gear.
For the people to go crazy again because that's what they've done for the last 2 months is just attack the police.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, I would like to talk about Seattle at some point as well, which in a show of unity or whatever on Tuesday... got pepper sprayed just arbitrarily into a group. An 84-year-old woman was pepper sprayed in the face excessively.
Yeah.
And you can see in the video some of them, it's just police using excessive force.
Right.
It's just...
Okay, but let me finish talking what happened.
Well, the riot gear just sparked that idea image in my head.
We're
going to
talk about the police after I finish talking about this. So they went down this morning, and so they were met with huge police presence. They did interrupt the subway entrances, exits, for the people who were getting out of the Wall Street exits to go to work. They did interfere with that, but it was pretty peaceful. You know, they just wanted to let their presence be known. But they didn't get anywhere near the stock exchange and interrupt anybody getting into the buildings. They had high security. And so the occupiers made a human blockade and a chain, and then all hell broke out. And the police went and arrested 75 people or so this mm-hmm. morning.
Off the bat, just to start the day.
And, you know, there are pictures online that, you know, the police used excessive force. One woman was dragged by her hair, and I heard stories where there were some people arrested who weren't even part of the blockade and the chain. They were there. The police specifically went after certain people. So that happened at, you know, 9:10 o'clock this morning. And so Zuccotti Park, they went back to Zuccotti Park, and now they put even more barricades around Zuccotti Park. The police now have forced you to walk through an entrance. You can no longer, Zuccotti Park, if anybody
it's
doesn't
wide
know,
open. Just
we
wide
had
open.
No fences, and it was a square block, so you could enter
a couple of steps
it,
in the middle, and you can just
you
walk
could
back
enter
and forth. Yeah.
In and out from any four sides of the street. Mm-hmm. Now you have to enter in through the openings that they've created, and the cops stand there and look at you up and down, and they have... They are inspecting bags, backpacks, if they suspect anything. Because you're not allowed to bring any tents, any sleeping bags, any sort of camping gear. I think they are profiling at this point. Profiling.
Well, you know, if you're bringing camping gear, I understand.
Yeah.
But, I don't agree with them getting thrown out in the first, but like right. I understand the cops then saying, all right, you know, we're not letting you through. But to just stop people arbitrarily, like if I just walk down, I've never been
yeah.
down, I've never... You know, mm-hmm. I don't really look like the guy who works down there. If you, right. if you see me, it's my mm-hmm. usual uniform is a white t-shirt and jeans.
Right.
So, and I have fairly long hair. So, I you know, I don't fit the mold of this. So.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, of like people who work down there.
Oh,
saying,
work.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you fit more of the mold of the occupier.
Exactly. And, you know, I walk up and down Broadway sometimes, you know, when work calls for it. And just like for them to arbitrarily stop people and just be like, hey, let me check your bag. I'd be like, no.
Right.
Like, there's no reason to.
Right. Well,
and it's just ridiculous for them to do stuff like this. It's a stop and frisk thing that's been going on,
yeah.
that they've been arguing about for
years now. Yeah.
And now they're just using a similar tactic against right. people who look like someone who's in the movement. And it's just ridiculous that they can just arbitrarily just be like, oh, you, by the way, come over here. It's like the bag frisk at in train stations they do, too.
Yeah.
You know, where they're like,
that's
oh,
right.
let me check your bag. Which is also stupid.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous and arbitrary. Like, anyone could you walk into any other subway,
mm-hmm.
but you walk through this one entrance and they'll stop and check your
yes.
bag. It's like, why
so
would you, like, who's stupid enough to do this?
What
like,
terrorists would
at
go
what
that
point
way?
Do these brilliant minds get together and be like, oh, let's just go to the major hubs
yeah.
and stop people before they get on the subway instead of going to every train station and be like, yeah. oh, we need to stop everyone who gets on the train. Because then they can get to the major hub and just do whatever they want anyway.
Or even if you go through those major hubs and they're looking, chances are the cops texting and looking at his phone and he doesn't have a clue what's going on.
The best is when they show up with the TSA agent. But I'm surprised they weren't pulled out for this one, too.
Can I finish?
Because they're experts in that field.
So the next thing was at around, right before 2 o'clock today, there was a scuffle between the occupiers in Zuccotti and the police, because the occupier kind of got very frustrated with being caged into the park where you couldn't touch the barricade. You can't touch the barricade now. You can't touch it because the police say that's illegal, I guess. So there was a big scuffle with guys getting hurt, blood, crashed to the ground, all sorts of stuff. It's on the live stream.
We moved into a police state.
It's
We've moved into
state.
A police state.
Well, that's
state.
What I was going to say.
This is
so
just
when
ridiculous.
So when I went to the park before I came on the show, I said, let me go down and see what's going on. There was definitely more cops than anything else there. There were more cops. More cops. I don't know where all these cops come from. There were more cops down there than there were occupiers. And they have created Zuccotti Park. It's now a military zone.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, my God, it feels like I'm in Tripoli, Libya. And I felt like, does that mean Bloomberg is Gaddafi?
Oh, wow.
So
that's a bold thing.
Listen,
I wouldn't go
that
far.
That's how I felt.
But like, you know.
You should go down there and see.
Well, some similar protests in the past have had this stigmatizing figure who has made a bold move in trying to repress the people who are trying to protest. And they've done nothing more than actually increase the image and the way people feel and empathize with the protesters, which is fantastic because I think it's only increased the outpour of emotion and
right.
feeling for the protesters, because the police being used in this way
yep.
is just, it's, I don't even know the word, like it's just unreasonable. It's ridiculous that they're being used as battering ram to just destroy this movement.
Yeah.
And it's only going to strengthen it, I feel, at this point.
Let's come back to that thought and other thoughts about the police, Bloomberg, and my feelings and what else is going to happen. We'll be back in a minute and we'll go on.
Kill me, sue me, everybody.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. Michael Jackson said a mouthful then during that song.
That was a
right?
very apropos song.
Right.
You're pretty good at that usually. You know, you're very good. Your musical selection is usually very spot on, and I appreciate it each week. That's that one especially. Everyone loves Michael. And
yeah, too bad about him this week. You know, that's the verdict that came down, and
the doc was guilty. Oh, okay.
You should stay up with the news, but
I try my best. But you know, certain things are more important than others.
Tragedy that he's gone, and what a special artist he was.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about Bloomberg and the police at this point. And as I was coming out here at the studio, because I told you, as I mentioned before, I was at Zuccotti just a few minutes before I got here, and I thought Bloomberg is equivalent to, although you don't, do you think it's a bit?
Gaddafi's a Gaddafi. Bit extreme.
Listen,
big extreme.
Listen, and then the next thought that I had after that is, you know how those Middle East leaders, they keep finding him in these holes, these suits. I say, no, yeah, I wonder where Bloomberg, we're going to find Bloomberg in a few years, hiding in some sewer or viaduct somewhere.
Are you kidding me?
Central
He'll buy an island and make sure no one can get to it.
Listen,
he's
they
the 12th
all have money.
Richest man in the world.
Well, but so did Gaddafi and so did Saddam Hussein. They had tons and tons and tons of money. Money doesn't save you when you're on the run and you're a bad boy and the rebels are out to get you. But he's kind of put drawing a line in the sand at this point. This week, he really did.
I literally can't believe he did this.
And he now has incited the occupiers to take it on even
more than
more
the occupiers.
Strong.
At this
more
point,
strong.
He's made it more of a movement.
Oh, there's
it's more like the civil rights movement
that's
and the
right. that's
Vietnam,
right.
Vietnam War protests at this point with the amount of violence that he's
that's
in,
right.
instigating at this
right.
point. This and the cops across the country
well,
throughout the movement are just... I think if they, no offense, but if they would have just let them do their thing,
yes,
there would have been a lot less
that's right.
response.
That's
they would have been, if they would have been like, I heard they're spending $3 million a month
right.
to police the Occupy Wall Street, which is the exact opposite of what the movement wants.
Well, that's what I want to talk about now.
It's just...
Flash is talking cash. First of all, let me tell you a little tidbit. The day after they had the sweep out of the park, the donations that day from credit card donations from around the world was the highest it has been since the early days.
Mm-hmm.
So people completely sympathized with the occupiers, the Bloomberg move, the cops cleaning out the park, enforced, supported the movement even greater and deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Bloomberg actually encouraged the movement, stimulated the support, by doing what he did.
Do you think Bloomberg's this stupid?
No.
Or do you think he agrees with the movement so much that he this is like a genius move and like he just totally helped them out?
Frankly, we can speak now because everything is 20/20 hindsight. When you make a move, you don't know what the outcome's going to be.
You don't think... Just
they
based on history.
They
based
took
on
a chance.
History. Do you think they were just going to stop and forget?
No.
At that point,
no.
You think this was going to go get brushed under the rug? No. The amount of media attention at this point... Everyone has a cell phone and YouTube.
Yes.
And reporters are constantly around.
Well,
like, there's no way you could get away with this.
Well,
first of all. Second of all, what do you think the response is going to be? Do you think that, like, 2 months out, people have just been like, those guys don't know what they're talking about? No. Now you're just reinvigorating the movement. And it's just like, how do you not realize this? It's like Wallace back in the civil rights. I don't remember the mayor or the governor of Illinois with Kent State. Was it Illinois or Indiana? I don't remember.
It was Kent State was Ohio.
Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do these guys not understand that to have this kind of violence or this kind of complete uncaring
disregard
for human beings is just like, it's people at their core care. And to just be this callous and make these moves and just not even care, do you think people are going to respond on your side? Like, honestly, like, he either is stupid or really smart and it supports the movement.
Because
there's no in between at this point.
It's just like any time you fight a war and the military makes some strategic moves, you never know how the enemy is going to react. You have outcomes. This could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And you take a calculated risk. They took this calculated risk at 1 o'clock in the morning. So they say. You know, you can't believe anything they say. They say they did that so there was no people. There's the fewest amount of people in the park. And it would disrupt the fewest amount of people. Blah, 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 blah. Well,
they did it because it was sneaky in the night.
Well,
so that,
that's what
you know,
they
were hoping.
Right. That's what we Come think. On. That's the way it looks. That's the way it looks.
Bloomberg now, has to be today, a smart man.
He is a smart man. Now today, I don't know what's going on with the police. It's the goons. It's hard for me to believe that they really feel that these occupiers are dangerous, that they need to pull out all these stops and go away after
police,
them.
Police officers, in my experience, don't think like normal people.
No.
They're
trained differently.
They're not even trained. I think they go into the job with a different mindset of normal person. Like they don't like the people they police. It's
no,
common
I
knowledge.
Don't,
they
I don't,
do not.
I bet you.
The only people they do like are the people in their neighborhoods
and
rich people.
No, I think
anyone who doesn't think
that
like they think,
don't start out that way. I think it's a product of their job.
It's a combination.
And being in that bubble that they live in, those 8 hours a day, and they, you know, lots of times in that kind of a career, their friends become fellow cops, and they kind of insulate themselves from everybody else, and so their whole world spins around the police mentality.
The hatred of people.
Yeah, they and see a lot of crap. There's
I'm
no
sure
doubt
they do, but then
it.
They assume all human beings
That's
are
right.
that person.
They sometimes go that route. You're
and
right.
Usually they're not the happiest people going in. That's why they like to impose their will and become police officers. Yeah. Most people don't go into it saying, I really want to help out. Because if you're
right.
really a cop, if you at this point in time, you know that the police force is not the most exciting, glamorous job. It's not TV.
Right.
You're doing a lot of mundane, stupid stuff.
Boring.
You're just sitting around most of the time, and then someone's going to do something wrong, piss you off, you arrest them, and then you're going to get angry.
Right.
You're just going to keep getting angrier. So you're going in there with this anger and hatred of people, I think, to start this job. And then it only gets perpetrated or whatever. It just keeps getting worse and worse, propagated or whatever. And you just get angrier and angrier. And then your core of people is your friends who are usually other cops because you work 8 hours a day. You sit with them all the time. You get an arrest. You're working an extra 4 to 6 hours for the paperwork that it takes and the overtime. And then you're spending most of your time with these people. And you're only getting angry and you hear your friend's stories and his stories and this story and how people are just awful.
Okay.
And it just, they're just, and then they just listen to directions also.
So Andrew, as you know, has some very strong feelings about the police. But let's go back
Bloomberg
to
police. Right. I feel like people stop caring about other human beings at this point, which is a problem.
Yeah. So the occupation has now planned today a march to Foley Square, which is outside of City Hall. And after the march to Foley Square, they're marching over the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, we've been there before. And the last time the Brooklyn Bridge march occurred, there was a lot of problems there, too. I would say that the occupiers do not plan on making trouble. But the police, I think, start out with, we're going to squash this before it even starts. And they start making trouble before anything actually occurs. Andrew's reading a text, so you know in this world, which I find absolutely horrendous, is everybody is distracted by their machines in their hand and they can't function. They think they can function. They think they can multitask, but they can't. So he's now stopped texting and he's going to respond to my march over the Brooklyn Bridge and Foley Square.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I really do.
They're going back to their
screw them. Literally screw them. At this point, you know what? I would put my middle finger up in their face and be like, you know what?
Well,
you don't care about me.
Yeah.
I don't care about you.
Well, the occupiers are getting angry.
Of course we are. The things that the police are doing at this point are just careless and they don't care about humans. And that's my problem. Like corporations don't care about humans.
Yes.
They're not individuals. In theory, they're individuals because that's why they create corporations, but these corporations don't care. They care about the bottom line, which is money. Cops care about keeping their job and staying alive and going through their motions, and they listen to the mayor or their leaders, and the leaders listen to the politician to the higher ups, and the higher ups listen to the corporations because that's who gives them the money and the tax money and all those other things. The corporations are the ones who, it's like a top down, and they only care about money. They tell everyone else to just care about my feelings because I'm the one who pays your bills.
Yes.
And so the human beings in this situation are forgotten. And that's wrong. Like, I guess, I don't know if I'm a socialist or a humanist or what I am. I just care about people.
A little idealist.
And I think they forget about this.
A little idealist.
Is that so bad?
No.
Because no one else cares at this point.
Yes.
And you know what? At a certain point, I'm tired of caring about other people if they don't want to care about other people either.
Right. You want it to be a fairer society.
I want everyone to care about everyone else, like, and not take advantage of people.
Respect each other.
Like, take advantage of your power or your position.
now let's talk about this. My take on this. You know, I see these cops down there a lot.
There are too many of them.
They're on overtime.
There are too many of them.
My tax dollars are being spent to watch over these peaceful occupiers. And I think it's a huge waste of my dollars. Oh, I pay for this.
The NYPD is loving this.
Yeah, no
because
kidding.
Their budget is going through the roof.
That's right.
Now, I hear that they have so much. They're like the Defense Department.
Yes.
They're
it's
literally
endless,
the Defense Department.
Right, it's
they
endless.
Have like probably
so
one of the biggest
portions. So there'll
be
budget cuts everywhere else.
Oh, then, exactly. And they're like throwing things away. They're throwing out computers, everything.
That's my next thing. My next thing is, you know, these sanitation came in and threw everything away. And so now you have a right to go back down there and get your stuff. Now, if your stuff is missing or if your stuff is broken, you could submit a claim to New York City.
Oh, they're going to pay you back for it?
Of course, they have to reimburse you.
But how do you justify
it? Well, as long as you have proof.
How do you have proof?
A receipt, okay?
But what's your proof that it was there?
All you do is come up with a receipt. So if it's damaged, you take a picture and you show a receipt. And if it's missing, you come up with your receipt and say, I had a laptop. You took my video camera or whatever it is. And the city's going to reimburse you. So can you imagine?
That's brilliant.
No kidding. That they couldn't let these people
just
take
say,
care
out
of their
the
own stuff.
Just say, get out of the
park.
Yeah,
we'll give you an hour, pack up and leave. Yeah. So we don't have
to
pay.
Well, the problem is they were just being like, if we give them an hour...
Everyone's
going to come down at that point.
No kidding. But
which is the way they should have done it.
Well, of course. And so now they have to pay the police, pay the sanitation, because we have to pay to clean the park, the sanitation department.
Don't even get me started on this whole process.
And this is a private park. Brookfield wanted it clean, but the city paid for it. Unless Brookfield's going to reimburse the city. That's going to be an interesting one. Let's look into that one.
The city should.
And then finally, these poor people who lost their stuff or their stuff was crashed and broken now have to submit a claim to New York City and get reimbursed. So look at all the money that my tax dollars, and then they're going to cut services everywhere else because the city's broke.
Oh, yeah, I know. And teachers are getting fired everywhere, and we're spending as much money on the defense budget as we possibly can. On top of this, I want to know how much it costs for 150 people to get housed, fed, arraigned, put through the system.
Yes. More court costs.
Overtime for all the cops.
Right.
All this crap.
Right.
For nothing.
Nothing. To get it.
For literally nothing. Because the cops in the system want to keep going.
Yeah.
And they want to keep making money off these people.
Perpetuation. That's what he's trying to say. They're perpetuating a bad system.
It's just
awful.
Just
because it feeds them.
It's awful. It's everyone just makes more money.
And my tax dollars.
Because the thing is, cops want to make as much money as they can, right. But they're limited because they're...
Salary.
It's just, you're hit a ceiling because you're not really... highly trained
the only way they can
highly
make
educated
it is,
labor
the only way
you're
they could do it is
goal.
Overtime
yes and they do as much as they can
that's right.
And then they arrest as many people as they can
and they milk
and,
the system
and then the lawyers or the DA it's all the same crap the
yep.
judges make as much money too and it's all awful the whole thing is just
so it's costing us our tax dollars
the efficient corporate
inefficient
well no I'm saying the efficient corporate leader or overlord of our city Bloomberg is propagated an inefficient system and kept it going and is only feeding it more
right.
at this point because
right.
he's feeding the ideals that Giuliani put in place of these arrests
right.
and Kelly is just loving it.
That's right.
His budget must be the roof. I wanted to know how much he's making nowadays.
I don't
because
know.
He's probably getting overtime for sitting
I
at home.
I don't think he gets overtime.
Oh, yes, he does.
I don't think he gets overtime.
He's
a deputy. He's a salaried employee. It doesn't matter. He's
getting
high profile prestige, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Prestige for what?
For
arresting innocent people.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Well,
this all makes sense.
For people who like police states and like enforcement.
I miss the First Amendment. I miss the First Amendment
well,
and everyone being able to do what they want to
well,
do.
Well, as you can see, Andrew and I are very excited. We're very disappointed. We have a lot of feelings about this place and, you know, living
I
in
love
the
New York. I
living
love it.
So close to the center of the universe at this point
I know.
Is really it's really
it makes me sad.
It's really very disturbing and I hope that the occupation grows and goes in a form that Mayor Bloomberg and his police can't possibly outmaneuver.
They're trying.
We're going
to
talk.
They're trying to repress.
Oh,
it.
Next week is Thanksgiving. Let's say give thanks
Happy
to everybody,
everybody,
to those occupiers. Maybe bring some turkey down to them, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. All right, see you then. Bye. We'll be right back.
following is a message from Jones Family Farms. Jones Family Farms is a 400-acre working farm offering quality agricultural products all year round, from fresh summer berries to Christmas trees in the winter, and an award-winning winery that is open from April to December. The reach of the Jones Family Farms is hard to capture, from their advocacy work through the Working Lands Alliance to ongoing classes in the Harvest Kitchen. Jones Family Farms is as passionate about education as it is about farming. Whether you're picking fresh strawberries or exploring local wines, we hope you're inspired to learn more about Connecticut farming. Visit www.jonesfamilyfarms.com for more information.